Today's daf is daf Ayin Vav. We're starting a new Mishnah and a new Sugya. For the last few days, we've been talking about Behema HaMakasha, and now we're going back to Eilu Treifas. Says the Mishnah at the top, Behema Shenech Bechu Ragleha. You have a Behema where one of the back legs was severed, like amputated. It depends now where that severed Aver started from. Min Arkuva Ulamata Ksheira, if it's below the Arkuva. Arkuva means a joint. As we'll see in the Gemara shortly, every behema has two joints that we're talking about. And the two joints that we're referring to are lahavdo by a human being. The lower joint would be the equivalent of the ankle joint. And the higher joint would be the equivalent of the knee joint. Which of those joints we're speaking about, the Gemara is going to tell us it's a machloikis. We'll see shortly. Anyway, so if the regal was severed above the joint, then says the Mishnah Marakuva Lamala, it's possible. Possible means that the animal is treif. You cannot eat from the animal. However, if it's Nechtach Marakuva Ulamata, below the joint, then it's push. V'chein, the same thing applies to Nitl Tzoymes Hagin. Tzoymes Hagin in Eretz Yisrael. Our good friend Reb Shlomo can tell us that the word Tzomet means a junction where major roads and highways get together. Here we're talking about where the Gidin get together. Gidin being sinews. These sinews, really in the fancy English, it's really tendons. Tendons are similar to membranes which hold together different parts of the body. Here we're talking about that this Tzoymes HaGidin begins right at the end of the lower joint, which I called before the ankle joint. From there and upwards, you have in a behema three gidin, three such tendons that go up towards the upper part of the leg. We'll talk about this more momentarily in the Gemara. Now, it says, continue the Mishnah. So if nitl tzaymes gidin, if that tzaymes gidin were nitl, taken away, the Gemara is going to say that means if it was cut, depending on how much, we're talking about three gidin altogether, we're talking about one, two, three. We're going to discuss that on the Omid base. Anyway, Nishbura Etzem, if instead of the regal being nechtach, that it was cut and severed, it broke. The behema was running, and it broke a leg. What's the din now? Im roiv ha-basar kayim, if roiv of the basar, which is around that Etzem, after all, the bone is not just bare, it has on it a whole bunch of flesh. So if roiv of the flesh is kayim, shechdasim mitarosai, then you can go and shech the behema. And although the Mishnah uses the term mitarosai, it really means mutter ba'achila. Why is it mutter ba'achila? Because, okay, you know, lahavdol, just like a person breaks a bone, they break a leg, it's not very nice, it's quite painful, you might have to have some surgery, but, you know, it's not life-threatening, typically. Here, too, if the bone is broken and it's surrounded by roi basar, it's okay, the animal can live, it's not a treifa, kusha. However, if it's exposed and you don't have roiv ha-basar kayim, then I'm afraid it might get infected and that the fracture might grow. Ein shchitas matarosai, and the animal is a treifa and the shchita will not help. We'll talk about that more as we get into the Gemara. Whether or not the shchita doesn't help legabi only that aver or legabi the entire animal, that we'll see mi'etshem on the Amid Beis in greater detail. But in the meantime, we get now to the beginning of the Mishnah, Minakuva Lamata, Minakuva Lamala, Omer of Yehuda, Omer Rav, Omer Rav Chia. Lamata, Lamata, Mino Arkuva, Lamala, Lamala, Mino Arkuva. L'choira, Rav Yehuda, Omer Rav, so far has not added anything to our Mishnah, because our Mishnah also said, Minakuva Lamata is kosher, Mino Arkuva Lamala is possible. But Rashi says, when it says, Lamata, Lamata, Mino Arkuva, that means samuch, right beneath. Again, the Arkuva is a joint, and he's saying right beneath that Arkuva, says our Mishnah, it's kosher. It's if you had an amputation, it was severed, the leg was severed. Right lamata min Arkuva, it's kosher. If lamal min Arkuva, then it's possible, that means that the animal is treif. Now, be'ez Arkuva Amru, which joint are we talking about? Be'arkuva hanimkeres im harosh. That's the lower joint on the animal. For those of you that have an art school Gemara. They have a bunch of nice pictures. So I'm going to take out my own English version here. And you see there, it's on 76A1. Is a picture on the left. Your Gemara may be a little bit different. Anyway, there are altogether two joints. It's what's called the Arkuvah Yechlachvat. The Arkuvah Tachtoina and the Arkuvah Elyoina. Arkuvah Tachtoina is the lower joint. The Arkuvah Elyoina is the higher joint. I can give you the English words for it, but I think that will just be confusing. The lower one is called the tarsus. The upper one is called the patella. In between the two, you have the shank bone, which is called the tibia. Okay, all of these are wonderful terms. Anyway, the bottom line is that the Arkuvah Tachtoina, which is similar to the ankle joint. Now, by human beings, the ankle is much further down, right next to the bottom of the foot. Right. However, the way Kadosh Baruch Hu created animals, they don't have a flat foot. They almost they step on their toes. Like the women that have the 3-inch heels in the back, and then they are only touching the ground with their toes, and the rest of the foot is elevated. Yeah. So here too, and then the ankle, of course, is also elevated. So lahavdil, here the Bibahemis, you also have that the ankle joint is elevated, and above that, the next joint, which they call the Arkuvah Elyoina, otherwise known as the patella, that is the upper joint. That's the equivalent of our knee joint by a human being.
So why it's possible when Akivan Amala is possible?
Okay, so now the question is, which Arkuva are we referring to in our Mishnah and the Yehuda Amara B'Shem Reb Chia? It says our Gemara, we're referring to the lower Arkuva, the one that is sold together with the Rosh. The Gemara doesn't explain really what that means, but the presumption is, if any of you have ever eaten chulent in Shabbos, you know that one of the ways to make the chulent more tasty is to go and put bones in the chulent. Some people put in flankin and other types of wonderful treats as well. But if you put bones in the chulent, the bone gives it a certain amount of time. Here too, we're talking about the Arkuvah Hanimka Imarosh. That means the lowest part of the leg. The lowest part of the leg has no flesh on it. It is just bone, plus the outside or the outside skin. You don't see the bone when the animal is alive and walking around. So that, since it's only bone, it's presumably much less expensive than the flesh of the animal. So it's sold together with the head. So both the head and this bottom arkuva, or this bottom bone, are all just sold for bones, and presumably used in the chicken soup or the cholent or something similar, because they have no flesh on it.
Who
wanted, do you ever eat the Rosh
Hashanah?
No. Do you ever go and eat, do you buy the head of a fish?
No.
Okay. You can get a head of a fish, and if you are buying a small order, they'll usually charge you $2.50 for a head. Yeah. If you're buying a big order, $50, $100, yeah, they'll throw the fish head in for free.
Yes.
So the fish head is much, much cheaper than the rest of the fish. They don't go and weigh it. They don't measure it.
Correct.
It gets this $5, $2.50. Same thing by the roish, by an animal. Who eats a roish of the animal? You eat it once a year. Some people eat it once a year on Rosh Hashanah, exactly, for a special skillet. Rosh Hashanah. However, throughout the year, they're koifta the Rosh. So if you really wanted that Rosh, you could probably get it instead of for $7.99 a pound, you could probably get for 99 cents a pound.
Just was to say, just like this has bones without meat on it, as though they cut it over. And this guy in the store calls binder to mark the zip key.
And they go and they put it together in a bag, and they say 99 cents for the Antimasa.
Next.
So this is the bottom joint, Akubanim Kuris Im Harosh. So what is he saying then? That above that joint. Now, let's explain. Rashi explains. Let's take a quick look at the Rashi. Rashi's on the Mishnah. Rashi starts on the same line where it says Gemara in our Gemara. And the first word, Shloisha Atzamais, are not in bold font, they're in soft font. Says Rashi, Shloisha Atzamais B'yerech HaTachtoy. When you look, B'yerech, you have the three bones, three sections in the in the back foot. What are those? You have the tachtoim, vu etzem hanechtach im haparsois. That etzem, that bottom etzem, is the one that you cut together. In other words, when the shoychit is not the shoychit, but when the butcher is now chopping up the animal into different quarters and pieces, etc., for sale. That's the etzem hanechtach im haparsois. Parsis means the hooves all the way on the bottom of the animal. Kishemafshitin a behema. When you take off all of the oil, you flay it, you take off the skin, so then the bottom piece, that's etzem anechtach im aparsois, v'oisa arkuva, that joint nikris, arkuva nimkeris im haroish, like we just said in the Gemara. So it turns out that the word arkuva has a double translation. Arkuva means that bottom joint. Arkuva can also mean the upper joint, as we'll see in a moment. So in this case, it's the bottom joint, and it's also talking about all of the foot of the animal from the floor, from the parasites up to that bottom joint, which I refer to simply as the ankle joint. That shtickle, few inches, 3, 4, 5 inches, whatever, you go and sell that in the store together with the roish, because you use it for chicken soup and for cholent and the like. Ulamali menu, when you get above that first joint, and now you're in the second segment of the animal's leg, ulamali menu, that's called etzim hoem tsoi. That's easy. That's the middle bone. On that middle bone, but same as Sagir mitach tisoy samach leperek arkuv and emkeris in the right. The bottom of that middle bone has the three gidin that we spoke about, the three tendons. They start from the arkuv and emkeris in the right, that lower joint, and they go upwards. They do not cover the entire middle bone. They only cover roughly half of that middle bone. The elyoin above that, meaning the third bone, all the way on top, that is the bone that goes all the way up to the alya, in other words, basically to the continuation of the spinal column, where at the end it's no longer a real spine, it's only a couple of things. We had bena parshias, bena prushias, we had a few blad ago. So that's the kulias that sticks into that alya at the top. So you have the three bones, which are connected with two joints. The bottom bone, that's the arkeves, the arkuvanim keres and maroish. You have the middle bone, that's the etzim and soy. Then you have the bone which is above that, the kulias, which is above the second joint. So what our Gemara is saying, what our Mishnah is saying, according to Yudam Rav Omer Rav Chia, that when it says in the Mishnah, min arkuva ulamata ksheira, it means from the lower joint below, which is just basically bones, from there all the way down to the parasites. If it breaks, okay, it breaks, it gets severed, it gets amputated. Nishkeferluch, it's the bottom bone all the way on the bottom of the animal. Okay, then it's kush. If it's amale, if it's above that arkuva, now we're already getting into the middle bone, that's etzem and tsoi, as well as the one all the way on top. Anything lamale me that, says our Mishnah, if it's severed, it's pasul, it's not kosher. The Gemara is going to ask shortly if that's the case. Why does the Mishnah have to say v'chein shenitl toimus agidin? Since the toimus agidin are on that middle bone, and we're saying about the middle bone that if it's severed, it's treif. Anything above the arkuva is treif. So you don't have to talk about the toimus agidin separately. That's all part of above that lower joint. So that was the first shot of Rabbi Yehuda Amarav Amrabchia. Second shot, Ulam Rab Oishia kenegdoi begamol nikar. That if you go to the higher joint, on a regular animal, it's not that well disclosed or revealed because it becomes part and parcel of the back leg and the torso of the animal. So now we have another picture over here. If you look at 76A2, you see you have, it refers to the thigh bone and it refers to the arkuva hu elyoina, the patella. When you're talking about the gomo, notice where it says camel on the bottom, that you can see. You can see the where, you can't see it in terms of that it's covered over by flesh, it's covered over by skin. But were you to open it up, you'd see immediately, oh, there's a joint over there. Masha Enken, if you're talking about the animal, that patella is embedded in the upper part of the animal already. So you cannot see it. If you're talking about a cow, you don't see it. It's not nicker from the outside because it gets blended into. Yes, it's all over the book. No, it's colored into some schwarz and weiß. Good. So this gets embedded in the animal, so you don't really see it that well. So that's what Ulam Rabbi Yishia says I'll tell you which joint we mean. You're going to say, in the cow, I don't see any other joint. That joint is covered up, but by Keneg de Gamel, it's Nikar Mekenes Laich Teken. So he's referring, therefore, to the Arkuva Ho'el Yoina. And therefore, he's saying, anything below the Arkuva Ho'el Yoina is Kusha. Anything above the Arkuva Ho'el Yoina is going to be Treif. And now we're going to have a brief dialogue. Amalei Ula Rav Yehuda. Ula is the one that said we're talking about the Arkuvo El Yoyin. So Frank Rav Yehuda. Lishlem Lidia, according to me, the Amina Keneged Begomal Nikar, which means the Arkuvo El Yoyin. Hayne Dekani Vechein Shinitl Tzayna Sagid. That's why the Mishnah has to go and tell us that even though normally anything Lamata Menu Arkuvo is Kusher, that's what it says in the Mishnah, Lamata is Ksheda, oh, but we have to make an exception to the rule and say that tzeimus agidin, even though that is lamata menu arkuva ho el yoina, it's also gonna be treif. So that's why the Mishnah had to go and isolate it and tell us. Normally, according to Ula Amar Rav Oshia and according to his pshat in the Mishnah, the arkuva means arkuva el yoina. Lamata mikuva el yoina treif. Lamata mikuva el yoina is kusha. So normally I would say, no, the tzaymus agidin should also be kusha because it's lamata mikuva el yoina. That's why the Mishnah say, no, Rabbi Isai. It's an exception to the rule. Chaychenitl tzaymus agidin, even though it's lamata mikuva el yoina, it's treif. So according to me, that's very good. However, lididach, according to you, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav Chiya, my bechenshintel tzaymus agidin. Because after all, remember, they teach that the arkuva means the arkuva lamata, the arkuva hanimkeres im horoish. So what is lamalim in arkuva? The tzaymus agidin alamalim. We already said in the Mishnah, men arkuva ulamalim psula. Why does the Mishnah have to add bechenshintel tzaymus agidin? After all, that tzaymus agidin is lamalim in arkuva hatachtoinam. Amaleis, he says, nishver. Rechuva, when he says Rechuva, means Arkuva. Beloy Tzemes Agidin. The Tzemes Agidin, the Beloy Rechuva. What's the main thing? What he's saying is, our Mishnah started off Nechtechu Raglem and Arkuva Lamata. That means it's totally severed, totally cut, right? And the whole rest of the foot never fell down, amputated. Okay. Now we're saying the Mishnah, not that the entire Arkuva was cut. We're talking about if the Arkuva Beloy Tzemes Agidin, that would be a psul, that would make a treifa, if it's lamala min ho arkuva, and it's tzeimus agidin b'loy rechuva. In other words, what happens if it's only the tzeimus agidin that were cut or removed, but the rest of the bone is there, that would also be treif. Freik timora, v'nechtechu ketani. The nechtechu sounds like we're talking about that both of them are cut. When we said nechtechu raglia, you said now that means rechuva b'loy tzeimus agidin. My friend, it doesn't say that it was broken. Nechtach means it was severed, it was amputated. If it's amputated, that means by definition, the revucha, the rechuva, the arkuva, that middle bone, together with the tzaymus agidin. So don't go and say, no, it was only a cut in the part of the middle bone, but the tzaymus agidin remained intact. So that's one din, that's treif. Another din is the tzaymus agidin below rechuva, that's also kosher. So you might, that's also treif. How could that be? If you're talking about nechtechu, freiting, what about nechtechu ktani, which means that the whole thing was amputated. So if you're talking on the middle bone, lemala mi tzaymus agidin, the tzaymus agidin only goes the bottom half of the middle bone. So to go and say that you cut through that and it's treif, dus v'shtayach. But to go and say that you cut the upper part of the middle bone and that makes it treif. But only talking about the arkuv, we're not talking about the tzaymus agidin. If it's amputated, if it's severed, slick of dread. There's no more tzaymus agidin. Don't tell me arkuva b'loy tzaymus agidin. That doesn't make sense. Says the Gemara, Rav Yehuda was dumbfounded, ishtig et kishvigim. He didn't know what to answer. The Basit Denofak, after Ula asked him this question, Omar, he said to himself, my timely amrile, what I should have told him is, lamata is lamata min arkuva, lamala lamala mi tzaymus agidin. Meaning, that I, Rav Yehuda, in explaining the Rav, Rav Chiya, I could have made a slight emendation, a slight explanation of what we mean in the Mishnah. When it says in the Mishnah, Lamata, that it's Kusha, that means Lamata min arkuva. Taka, lower than the bottom joint, the lower joint. Yes, Kusha miyusha. when it says in the Mishnah lemalim in Arkuva, then it's psula. It doesn't mean right on top of the Arkuva hatachtoina, meaning where the tzaymus begin. It means kibah spring higher up on that middle bone. The lower part of the middle bone, we have the tzaymus agidin. Avada says the Mishnah lechein shenitul tzaymus agidin. It's praise. That it says in the Mishnah lemalim in Arkuva. He doesn't mean lemalim in Arkuva the tzaymus agidin. He means lemalim in tzaymus agidin. Oh, so that's already what the Mishnah has to tell us. That if it happens to be severed, the Tzayim HaSagidin, it's treif. And if it's Lamala Mitzayim HaSagidin, it's ultra treif. Any type of break, any type of cut, not a break, but any type of cut where you severed the bone, either the top of the middle bone, or you severed the Tzayim HaSagidin on the bottom of that bone, all of that makes it treif. So therefore the kasha that Ula asked is Shenishveh. Ula's kasha was that if lamala means lamala minu akuva, the bottom joint, that includes the entire middle bone. So why do we have to go and refer to the tzaymus agidin? Tzaymus agidin is included in the lamala minu akuva in the middle bone. So says Rav Yehuda to himself, I could have, should have, would have answered that when it says in the Mishnah lamala minu akuva, it doesn't mean right above the akuva where you have tzaymus agidin. It means lamala minu tzaymus agidin on the upper part of that middle bone. Oh, so I'm not repeating myself anymore. Upper part of the middle bone, treif, and even the lower part, but the tzimus hagin, is also treif. Zuki Mara, Huda Omar, after he had this thought process, this is what I should have answered, Huda Omar v'lei amrilei omali, he said, it's good v'lei amrilei. Huda Omar v'lei amrilei, so it's good that I didn't go and respond and give this teret. Why? Because the Amali before, when I had that discussion about Kenegde Begamul Nikr, about the Nipul Tzaymus Agidin, and I answered him that Arkuva Beloit Tzaymus Agidin, and Tzaymus Agidin Beloit Rechuva, the Amali Nechtechutani. How can you go and say that we're talking about the upper part of the middle bone, and say we're not talking about that it was totally cut? We're just saying at that point it makes it right, but leave the Tzaymus Agidin, they were not touched. How can you mean leave the tzaymus agidin? Once it's nechtechu, the whole thing fell off. There's no upper part of that middle bone. There's no tzaymus agidin, and there's no lower part of the middle bone. So that doesn't make sense. So just like he answered me, hachanami, he could answer me in arkuva l'malikton. It doesn't say in the Mishnah min hatzaymus ulegidim ulemalik. It says min arkuva l'malik. Min arkuva l'malik sounds like right as soon as the joint ends, the beginning of the middle bone, which is where the tzaymus agidin are, to go and say, no, that's not what the Mishnah means. It means l'malim and tzaymus agidin. Come on, it doesn't say that. It says l'malim and akuva. So just like when I gave that teretz before of the akuva b'lei tzaymus and tzaymus b'lei akuva, that he shot me down by nechtechutani, if I would have answered l'malim and tzaymus agidin, he would have also shot me down. So therefore, I'm good that I didn't answer anything. And now we have Rapapa. Rapapa Masni Hachi. Rapapa takes Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Rav, Omer Rav Chia. Yes, somebody wants to say something? That is correct.
And therefore it makes sense because if the Soma Segina is removed, then
Soma Segina is lower.
Right.
It's lower than upper Akuva.
Right. But why is that Yehuda, he's saying it's lower.
The lower joint, and therefore the Soma Segina is above that joint.
Right. So it was only the Soma Segina, but the bone was still intact.
Underneath the Soma Segina, the bone was intact. That's correct. And nevertheless, it's treif. Because that tzaymus agidin was severed. Nickel. Okay? Everybody holds that tzaymus agidin nickel, it's treif.
Right. At the end, he's not backing off.
He's not backing off the halach, he's backing off from the teretz that he could have given.
Right,
great. Okay?
Yeah.
Papa Masni Hachi, the Papa has a different interpretation of the original Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, Amar Rav Chiya. Remember, we learned that Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav Amar Rabbi Chiya is referring to the lower joint, the Arkuvan and Keres Im HaRoish, says Rav Papa, and that's not the way I understand Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav Amar Rabbi Chiya, but rather Lamata Lamata Min Arkuva, and this Arkuva that we're talking about is the upper Arkuva, just like Ula Amar Rabbi Oishia learned. And when it's Lamala Min Arkuva, we're saying in the Mishnah that it's kosher. It's not Lamata Min Arkuva. It's Lamata Min Arkuva Vetzayim Yisagid. That's when it's kosher. In other words, we're starting with the upper joint, and we're looking now downwards, Min Arkuva Ulamata. We are skipping for a moment that middle bone, the Etzem Wemtzoi, and now we're going below that to the lowest bone, which the Gemara called the Arkuva and Keres Im HaRoish. And we're saying, when it says in the Mishnah that it's kosher, we don't want to get into a quandary and say, how can it be kosher? So Mr. Gidin says in the Mishnah that it's straight. So we're going, Lamata Min Arkuva Umitzoi Mr. Gidin. Package that together as one, Lamata meaning on the bottom bone, that's where if you had, it was severed, it was amputated, kosher. When it says in the Mishnah, Lamala, it means Lamala Min Arkuva Umitzoi Mr. Gidin. Since we're talking about the upper joint, we're talking about above that Arkuva and the middle bone, because above the Arkuva we only have the Kulius, which is the upper bone. Oh, if in that upper bone, if it was cut, that's the Mishnah Nechtechu Raglam, Arkuva Lamala, it's possible. So what we've done is, according to our Papa, we have ignored for a moment the middle bone, and we've only focused on the bottom one and on the top one. The bottom bone, we say, if it's broken, if it's amputated, Kusha V'yusha. If it's the upper bone, the Kulius bone, then that's certainly going to make a trace. What about the middle bone? Oh, says now Rav Papa in explaining Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Amar Rav Chiya, V'chein Shenitl Tzoy Mesagidin, that the Tzoy Mesagidin, which is in the middle bone, that will also be trace. However, the Arkuva Gufa on the upper part of that is Kedul Amar Boishia. In other words, we're taking now the middle bone and we're separating into two classes. The bottom of it, which is the Tzemes Agin, that's going to be treif. Above the Tzemes Agin, in that middle bone, even though it's a full amputation, it's going to be kosher.
How is it possible? It's Lamalo.
Exactly. The Gemur is going to ask. The Moshe Chaim asks a beautiful kasha. He's paving the way for the Gemur's kasha, and that is, how can you say that lower on the anatomy, lower on the foot, it's going to go and make it straight, and upper, you're going to say that it's kosher? So we're going to get to that question in just another 5 seconds. So first, the benefit of this pshat, according to Rav Papa, is that there's no machloikis now between Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Amar Rav Chiya and Ula Amar Rav Oishia. Both agree that the Arkuva that we're referring to in the Mishnah is the upper Arkuva. That's the Arkuva Elyoina, the upper joint, and not the lower joint. Now, Frank Tigmara, the Kasha that Moshe Chaim asked a moment ago, the Ilu Medav, Hasek Lei V'Choya, does it make sense that if you cut the upper part of the middle bone, Medali means you raise it up, and you cut over there, v'choy, and the animal can live, while mitati means down below, tachas, pasikle, you cut it at the same as the gidim, umesa, and then the animal will die, v'choy, that doesn't make sense. Am Ravashi, and we've quoted this Ravashi already a couple times on Masechta, treifis kamadamis la'adodi, you cannot compare one treifa to another, ein, oim betreifa zu, doim lezu, you can't say, let's go and compare the reya to the kovet to the lave to the dakin, you can't. In our case, if you cut the lower part by the tzimis again, the animal will die. But if you go and cut the upper part of the middle bone, the choya, and it will live. So with this, we have concluded the first part of our Gemara, which is discussing which Arkuva we're talking about. According to the first chapter, before we got to Rav Papa, there was a fundamental machloikis between Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Amar Rav Chiya, whether we're talking about the lower Arkuva, that's the lower joint, but Ula Amar Rav Oishia said, now we're talking about the upper joint, and according to Rav Papa, both of them are talking about the upper joint. Is there enough kemina l'halacha? Yes, there is enough kemina l'halacha in the two pshat, because according to the first pshat of Rav Amar Rav Chiya, that Lamala means Lamala mi Arkuva, and Keres Im HaRoish, anything above that bottom joint, going upwards, All of it is going to be treifa, whether it's a tzayna sagidim, which is nifsak, or on the middle bone where you go and cut it, lamala min ha tzayna sagidim, that will be treifa. Certainly on the kulyas, the upper bone, which is above the akuv al yoina, all of that will be treifa. So included in that is the upper part of the middle bone. Masha'inken, according to Ulam Reboishia, no. The arkuva that we're talking about is the upper joint. So above the upper joint, everybody agrees, that is certainly going to be treif. But below that, we have there both the bottom bone as well as the middle bone. The bottom bone, everybody agrees, it can be cut, amputated, there's a gunish mit gunish. Question is, what about the middle bone? Here Ulam Reboishia says, the upper part of the middle bone will be kosher, even if it's severed. Why? Because that's lamata mirakuvaho el yoina. So even though it's cut, it's going to be kosher. Below that, by the time it's given, that's where it's going to be treif. I asked the Gemara, asked Moshe Chaim, does that make sense? The upper part is cut, and you're telling me that it's kosher. Below that, it's cut, you're telling me that it's treif. Don't ask such kashas. Treif is kamadamis la'adodi, ain oimer treif azul, doim listen. Right, the Eilen Tzemes again. We've talked about these three sinews, these three tendons. Where are they? What are they all about? Please explain. So we're going to have now a three-way and possibly a four-way machlekes. Rabba Omravashi, the Agrima Ulabar. Rabba Baravuna Omarav Omravashi, the Agrima Ulagav. Rabba Berei, the Rabba Ravuna Omar, Rav Asi Rashi, the Ilui Arkuma. What does all of this mean? So we start off, Rabbi say, that the bottom bone, meaning from the bottom joint and downwards, there is no tzemes again. Tzemes again begins from that bottom joint going upwards, and it goes about halfway up on the middle bone. Now we have to know that where the tzemes begins on the bottom of that middle bone, there is no flesh at that point. Just like on the akuva hatachtoina that you sell together with the roish, it's just bone, there's no flesh to it. The bottom part of the middle bone also has no flesh. But that's, as the Gemara will say in a little bit further down, just for a few inches. The Gemara refers to it as a few, it's boys going up. But after that, then flesh develops on that middle bone, and now the three gidin that started off on the bottom, where they were kind of all lonely and isolated because they were just on the bone, now they are expanding and fanning out, spreading out into the flesh above. And we have pictures of that too. Yeah. Okay, so again, you can look in the art scroll, it has nice pictures. The lower down is kind of just white or yellow, and as it goes higher, it becomes nice and red. And it shows according to one man, the other man, the other. Yeah, so there, fine. Okay, so again, the bottom part of the tzemes agidim on that middle bone is just bone, and the tzemes agidim are oduk, they're attached to the bone, they're glued to the bone. But as the flesh begins to develop on that bone, then those tzemes agidim, now they fan out, spread out into the flesh, which is up above. And as they expand further into the flesh, these three, which were until now like Siamese triplets, all three kind of merge together as one on that bottom bone, as they now spread, because now we have all that flesh that they are now attaching to and spreading into, then they begin to split up. So it's no longer that happy family, these three that merge together as one. Now they're on three separate paths, so to speak. And that's going to become important. So the way Rashi learns agrama means starting from where the gidim are no longer attached to the bone down below. The bone has ended, now the three gidim are starting to spread their wings into the flesh. As long as they are still more or less fused together as one, even in the flesh, that's the same as the gidim. Once they spread out and they are now far from each other, that already is where they are no longer the tzemes segidim, which is matrif. Now you're wondering, what is the shear? How much are we talking about? The Gemara is going to deal with that on the bottom of the omid. It will be depending on whether we're talking about a behema gasa or a behema daka. But the important thing is, that it only has the status of Tzoyma Segidin after the bone ends. In other words, the first part, 2 inches, whatever it is, on that middle bone, where it was just bone, and there was no flesh at all, that is not Tzoyma Segidin. Tzoyma Segidin is where the bone part ends, and now the Tzoyma Segidin are starting to fan out into the flesh above, up to where it starts. That's the beginning of the Tzoyma Segidin. And where these Gidin start spreading their wings, meaning they're no longer the three attached to each other like triplets, Siamese triplets, but now they're starting to spread, oh, that's where the Tzoyma Segidin ends. So we're not talking about a very big distance, 2, 3, 4 inches, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly. Rabbi Vuna Marav Ashi, no, the Agram Ulegat. He says, Pug Faker. He says that what is considered to be the Tzoyma Segidin, only where they are attached to the bone, on the bottom part of that middle bone, but not once they hit the flesh, stop. The Tzoyma Segidin is over. Because then the Tzoyma Segidin blends into and mix together with the upper flesh. So where does it have the status of Tzoyma Segidin? Where the bottom joint ends and where the flesh begins. In those couple of inches, that's where it's Tzoyma Segidin. What Rabbi Bereid, Rabbi Barafuna, Omerav, Omeravasi, Asi, Ashi, the Ilui Arkuma. Arkuma, says Rashi, is one of the bones in the Arkuva Lamata. In the art scroll, it says that there are 6 such bones together in that lower joint, and one prominent bone in that Arkuva Lamata is called the Arkuma. So, he says that the Tzoyma Segidin doesn't start above the bone, where the bone, well, not the bone, doesn't start above the joint. It starts in the joints themselves. So from where that joint is, that arkuma, in the arkuva lamata, and upwards until where they spread their wings into the basar, that entire area is the Tzoyma Segidin. And therefore, this third view is much more the chumra than the other two. Because according to this one, we're starting from the bone of the joint itself, not lower. Above the joint, but
lower.
From below where the joint is, in other words, part of the joint. We're covering that first part where there's only bone on the middle bone before we get to the flesh. And we're continuing on up to where the flesh begins and where the 3 Gidin begin to spread. So therefore, this third view is both Agrama Ulabar and Agrama Ulagav, meaning both from the beginning of the joint and where it ends on the bone, which is the second shita of Rabbi Rabbuna, as well as above where the bone ends into the flesh, that's like the first Ravashi. And now the third one is that it starts all the way below the joint, not mamish below the joint, but in the joint itself, where you have one of the bones, which is called Arkuma, from there you go upwards. Yasu humin abana kam derbaba, yasu leka omar darkuma gufa. He said the Arkuma itself also is part of the Tzoyma Segidin. Not me Ilui Arkuma, but the Arkuma itself, where those bones are in the joint. If you were to cut that joint, you're cutting part of the Tzoyma Segidin, and that's what it says in the Mishnah, that it's trait. Says this new pshat that you had for this Ha'umar Rabbanan is too much of a chumrah. That's not the way we pass it. Hachiyam Rav Yehuda, Heicha de Pari Tafchi. Rather, where do you go and start the Tzoyma Segidin? Where the tafchin, those are the butchers, they hang the carcass of the animal from a hook, and then which is where? That's where the arkuma is, starting from there and below or above, which, depending which way you look at it, that's where you start the Tzoyma Segidin, but not in the arkuma gufa, but only lamala mi arkuma. And who holds that way? That's the third view that we just had. Behind the Rabbi Bereid, Rabbi Ravuna, Omer Ravasi, which he said that the Tzoyma Segidin begins from Ilui Arkuma, not from the Arkuma itself, from the bones in the joint, but above the bones in the joint and upwards. That's where you have the Tzoyma Segidin. Omer Gidom Meshmur, Tzoyma Segidin, Omer Mokim Shagidim Tzoymsim. What means Tzoyma Segidin? That's the junction where these tendons, where these sinews gather together. That's where the Mokkah begins. V'yad kama, how far up does it go? Amalu me'rabanan v'rav Yaakov Shemei ki avinim be'rav Yehuda amalan. Shumu mini milsa listen to the following halacha that I'm going to share with you. To be gavur rabbi shmieli, I heard it from a gavur rabbi. Who is a gavur rabbi? Umanu Shmuel. And he repeats the first part of Shmuel. That's where the Gidin begin to join together. That's the bottom of the middle bone. That's where the tzaim is. But how far does it go up? I mean, makim shetzaim said, and makim shemispashim. It goes up until the point where these Gidin start to spread their wings up above in the flesh of the animal. Okay, but where? How much is that? The kama of Rabbaya Arba Batadi Betura. Betura, of course, is a shor, which is Behema Gasa. Batadi, says Rashi, means Arba Etzbois. So you take the width of four fingers, which is approximately like a tefach, which is approximately 4 inches. So you, the Tzoymes Agin, the whole thing that we're talking about over here is 4 inches beginning from where the Tzomet, the junction begins, which is the bottom of the bone. It eventually spreads into the flesh above. Go 4 inches. That's the shear of the Tzoymes Agin. That's the Gabi Eshar. The Dakamai, what about a clean sugar animal? We're talking about a Shepsula or a goat. Omer Abai. The Liti have a Tzoymes Agin. The Li, we have a Tzoymes Agin. The Liti means that they protrude, that they're bolate. Those are the Tzoymes Agin down below, because since there's no flesh, you see the Tzoymes Agin very simply, because that's the only thing that's there. But believe, once it goes into the flesh, and now it's Balua, it's blended in, it's swallowed up by the flesh, we have a Tzoymes Agin. And it's no longer called Tzoymes Agin. Okay, but can you give me a better location on the bone? Tell me a little bit more. Says Gemara, I'll explain to you. Ashuni have a Tzoymes Agin. If you feel these Gidin and they're hard, Ashuni means that they're hard, then what's the din? That's Tzoymes Agin. Once they blend and mix with the flesh above it, they become rakichi, they become soft. Soft, we have a Tzoymes Agin. That's no longer considered Tzoymes Agin. Therefore, if it was severed above that, not the whole bone, just the Tzoymes Agin was severed, it's still kusha. Yeah. The only time that it's traced is if it's Ashuni, the lower part of the Tzoymes Agin, where they're nice and hard. You cut those, says Amish, it's straight. Once it goes into and blends with the rest of the flesh,
even
you have
some. If it's high up?
Even though it's high, that's your kasha from before. Yeah, okay. It could be higher up. Exactly. When it comes to treifis, ein oimrim treifizu doimazu, etc. Right. Alimi have a tzoymes agin. Alimi means when it's nice and thick. That's called tzoymes agin. Those are down below. That's as when they're on the bone, they're nice and thick. As they approach and go into the flesh above, then they become, they merge and they blend, then they become much thinner, softer. Softer, we had rikichi. Ktini means that they are thinner and narrower. Then, loy have tzoymes agin. Chivri, as long as they're white in complexion, have tzoymes agin. Once they enter into the basa, then they become reddish, like they merge together with the rest of the flesh. Then, loy chivri, loy have tzoymes agin. Once they're no longer white, but now they happen to be reddish like the rest of the basar around it, no longer tzoymes agin, and therefore if it gets severed over there, it's kusha.
So the simon.
Those are the four simonim. Simonim are hard compared to soft, thick compared to thin, white compared to red, and now the Gemara is going to continue weiter about the same thing. That's not ivri, but rather, says Gemara, Ma bravashi amar kivin de zigi. Ziggy, says Rashi, on top, tzlulin, what we call transparent. Clear, see an English word clear? Levonim tzas. They're not really solid white, but like an off-white, where they're almost transparent. As long as they're no longer chivri, it's no longer tzumas agidin, and therefore the halacha applies that we said before. As we've said all along, there are three such tendons. Chadalima, one of them is much thicker. Utrektina, the other two are much thinner. Ifsik alima, if the thick one has been nifsak, in other words, going back to our Mishnah, it said nitl the tzaymes agin. It didn't say how many of the three. Is it all three? Is it only one? Is it two? Roiv, miyot, gans. That's what the Gemara addresses. Now, says the Gemara, of the three, one of them is thick, two of them are thin. Ifsik alima, if the thick one has been nifsak, as the roiv binyan. Then this animal is a goner, because the animal will not be able to continue existing, because Nebuch, it's so shvach that a major tendon has been severed at the Tzoymes Hagid. As Roy Binyan has fallen, so to speak. Ifsik Ketini, if the other two instead have been Ifsak. In other words, the Alima is still strong, but the other two, the thin ones, have been Nifsak, as the Roy Binyan. Not Roy Binyan, but Roy Binyan, because two out of three have been severed. Well, Ma Baravashi Masa Vekula. He said that this, the distinction you just made is correct, but we turn it upside down. Ifsik Alima, even though the thick one is Nifsak, it's still Kusha, because Ikar Roy's minion. You still have the other two. It's only one out of three. The other two are okay. This animal will continue to thrive and to exist. If the Katini, if the two are severed, Ikar Roy's minion, you still have that big major one, that Alima, which is still strong and tight and tough, and therefore the animal will continue to exist. So therefore, what we said before in terms of Roy Binyan, and we said it's Dreyfus, Rav Ashi's Masel Lekula Faked, he says it's Kusha. Now,
Kusha.
Okay, start again. We have three tendons altogether.
Yes.
According to the first chat in the Gemara, if one of the three, but in particular the Alimi, the thick one, that's the one that's severed, no chance of surviving. The Roy Binyan is going to go in four. That's a Roy Binyan. What happens if instead the other two guys, the thin ones, were cut? It's also going to not exist because Roy Binyan. So either Roy Binyan or Roy Binyan makes a trade.
What's the other
pshat? Kikin the Gemara. If the Kalima, if only the Alima was Nifsak. What did we say before? The Behemoth will be treif. So no. It'll be Kusha. Because Ikaroi Binyan, you still have the other two that survive, and that's already enough, even though they're teeny, but it's two out of three. On the other hand, if the Katini, if the two were severed, and you say, oh, yoy, the Roiv has been severed. No, Ikaroi Binyan, you still have that Alima, which is Stark, and that will keep the Binyan standing. And you don't have to worry about that the animal will collapse. It's a Kusha, the...
Only if both of them were... Okay.
That was by a Behema 3. By Oifis, you have Shitzer Chutihab. You have 16 all together. 16. If you ever get a polka from the store and it's not properly cleaned on the bottom, you'll see that you have these tendons which are sticking up on the bottom of the polka. Nobody eats it. Everybody just... You cut it off and you throw it out. You peel it off. But there are 16 all together. If any one of the 16 is nifsak, is treifa, this bird is a goner. Wow. I was in front of Abba, meaning Rav Ashi. They brought him an oifa and ubodak, and he started counting them. There are only 15. So what did the whole oilam say? Must be treifa, because one of them is nifsak. He inspected it and he saw that one of them looked a little bit different than all the other 14. That 15th one, Epis Mishuna, Naftse. So he started kind of rubbing it and playing with it. And guess what? The Ashraf 20 found that two of them somehow got glued together, but there was really 16, and it's Kusha V'Yusha after all. Amru V'Yiramara, Tzoyim Esigirim Che'omru B'Rubay, Roiv. Now what does that mean, Rubay? My Rubay? Roiv Echon Mehen. Roiv of any one of the three is cut, the animal is trait. This of Yuna Marav is more machmir than the other two that we had before. Because before we said that only if it's roiv, according to the first view, only roiv of the alima, we said, or roiv of the other two. Here he's saying, roiv of any one of them, any one of them is straight. After all, there are three altogether by behind me. Legamri, even if one of them is entirely severed, even the alima, oh, it could trade. There's still two left over. So it's still kosher, says Shmuel. Don't passel it and say it's trade. As long as you have these two which are remaining, it's kosher. Zukti Mar Tamadi, it could trade, but that's because you have two. How like a trade? What happens if you had even less than two? Loy, you would also agree that it's trade. Oh, please, Rabbi Noy, them Rabbi Noy Amishmuel. The previous man, the Yama, was saying the name of Shmuel. Here, Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, and he said the name of Shmuel. And now we're saying, Rabbi Noy Omer Shmuel, same as again, mafil in shtay ba el khuta sarbal is ksheir. What's khuta sarbal? Rashi says at the top on the first narrow line, a sarbal shel tzemer umamidim beisat tzavar b'chut kmo yishanu oisin beritzuais. Meaning that a lot of the shirts in the good old days, they didn't have shirts exactly like we have it, but the collar of the shirts to go and close them instead of using a button, they used to go and put a string around it. Similar to on our shoes, we use shoelaces. We don't use buttons, at least most people don't. No. So same thing over here in the top of the shirts to keep the collar in place, they use such kutta sarba. Kutta sarba is a kutta tzemer, and by definition, it was much weaker and softer than the three tendons that we're speaking about in the Tzemes Sagid. So therefore, says Igmar, since according to that earlier pshat that we said, that Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, he said that there's plus ahava, and Shmuel said that as long as two remain intact, it's kosher. That disagrees with Rabbi Noi, said in the name of Shmuel, he said you don't have to have two gants intact, even if they're so shvach. In other words, even if roiv of all three simanim have all three sinews, their tendons have fallen apart, have been cut, but you still have remaining a thin thread, like the thread that you put around the collar to keep it in place, the shenokinik, that is enough for the animal to survive. However, there's another view. Ikka di amri my ruboy, when we said, remember, what did Rav say? Ruboy roiv echad mehen. There's a second view. My ruboy means roiv kol echad the echad. All three of them have to be severed, roiv, not gantz, roiv, and then it's treif. Kamrita kamen shmuel amali, mechti tlosahava. Since there are three of them, even if each one of them, roiv, has been severed, but there's still a miut remaining. And the Gemara calls that a tiltza. In other words, let's assume two-thirds have been severed of all three, right? We have three gidden. Each one of them, two-thirds has been severed. So it's a roiv called echad v'echad. Where if Yehuda said in the name of Rav, then it's a treifa behema. She says, no, why do you say that? Mechli klosahava ho'ika tiltza l'chol chad v'chad. You still have one-third remaining from each one of the three. And if you combine the thirds together, three-thirds are like one. So it's as if I still have one three-thirds.
Oh, not one, three one, times one, point one, three. You're right, right.
Okay,
sorry.
No problem, we still love you. Yeah. Three times a third is a gansus. It's as if you have a gansus. Yeah. It's still kusha. So it's a messiah of noi. It's like a riot, not a kasha or a steer mit Rabbi Noi. It's a riot Rabbi Noi. Rabbi Noi, I'm Shmuel. It's a messiah. 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 You don't even need a third. You just need like a mashu, like a thread, like a shoelace. It's soft, thin, gunish. But nevertheless, if each one of the three gidden has kechutas arbo, it's still kosher. So Shmuel was a tremendous makel. The gabi is famous. Right, it says in the Mishnah, Nishba Etzer. Now, it doesn't say clearly in the Mishnah where that Etzer was. If you go back to the Mishnah for a second, it says on the third line, Nishba Etzer. As long as it's enveloped and embedded in roiv busar, then it's still shchit is matai. Remember, Rashi said, and it's kushla achila. You're allowed to go and eat it, even though it's a broken leg. Oh, it's a broken leg. It's painful. It's not going to shmak, but it'll heal him. It's not a trait. V'imlav, however, if you don't have roiv busakayim, ain't shchitus matarusoi. It's no good. Now, it doesn't say clearly what's no good. Is it just the aver is no good because it's broken? If I can aver hamaduldul that we had before in the Gemara? Or are we talking about that the whole behema is no good? And that's going to be a machloikis now between Rav and Shmuel. And it'll also depend on where was Nishbara Etzer. Are we talking about the bottom bone, the middle bone, or the upper bone? So let's make no bones about it. And Lamatzigai. Omarav. Lamala min Arkuva. If you're talking about Lamala from the Arkuva, Pashit means the Arkuva hatachtoina. Lamata, so we're not talking about the bottom bone. The bottom bone is gunish. We're now talking about the middle bone. Lamala nakuva. Im roiv habasar kayim ze deze mutter. If roiv of the basar is kayim, like we said in the Mishnah, around the break, then it's mutter because shchitosim mitarase, like we have in the Mishnah. The emlav. However, if you don't have the whole basar kayim or roiv basar kayim, ze deze osar. Ze deze means both the aver itself as well as the whole behema. Is asur, it's a treifa. However, the matam and akuva, if the break was below the bottom joint, so on that bottom part of the foot, like below the ankle, so to speak, if the roiv of the basar is still intact, it's mutter, just like the matam and akuva, im lav, however, if you don't have roiv basakayim, then the aver is asur, ubehema muteris. So it's not as bad as if it's the break in the middle bone, where we said if you do not have the benefit of roiv basar, ze v'ze osur, since it's lamatam and akuva all the way in the bottom, nishkeferla, even if you don't have roiv basar kayim, the behem is mutter. The aver, however, is the aver hamiduldol, and that's going to be osur. Shmuel starts off the same way, but Shmuel argues with Rav. Shmuel Omer, vein lamala. Bein lamata. It makes no difference where the shever, where the bone was broken. Sai lamala min akuba. Sai lamata min akuba. Imroi v'abaser kayim zev zem mutter. That's exactly like Rav said. As long as roi baser kayim, sai lamala min akuba. Sai lamata min akuba. Zev zem means both the behema. And the Aver HaMedulgal is Kusha, because it's not Medulgal. It's covered over, embedded in Roiv Basa. So this animal can survive, and the Aver can survive. And therefore, both of them are Mutter. However, Imlav, that means if you don't have Roiv Basa Kayim, Aver, Asa Ubehema Muteres. So Shmuel is more Mekel than Rav. Why? Because Rav said, if it's Lamalim in Akuva, and you don't have Roiv Basa, Zeh Vezeh Asur. Here, Shmuel said, no. Bein lamala, bein lamata. Even though you didn't have roi basar kayim, it's only the aver which is asur. The behema is mutter.
But the isur of the aver, what?
The aver has an aver medulda, which normally is an aver menachai. An aver menachai is similar to an aver nevela. We have the difference about the basar, which is inside. An aver menachai is only metame, and it's only asur to eat if you're eating the basar gidim batzomais, the whole aver. Mashen kein legabe. If you have nevela fleish, you don't need the aver, you don't need the gidim batzomais, you just need the basar. If you have a slice of the basar, it's asur to eat as well as it's metame because it's a nevela. Maskul Rav Nachman l'Shmuel. So now Rav Nachman asked Shmuel. Shmuel said that if roiv habasar kaim zev zemutim, b'nim lav, the aver is asur behem muteres. So Rav Nachman says to Shmuel, Yoimru Aver Mimena Mutl Ba'ashva Umuteres. In the case of Lamala Min Arkuva, what did we say? That, according to Shmuel, makes a difference. Be'lamala Me'lamata. If less than Roiv Basar, in other words, a Miyat a Basar is Kayim, the Aver is Asar. What do you do with the Aver if it's Asar? You're going to throw it out in the waste basket, in the Ashva. The rest of the Behemah is still Mutter. Why? Because even though it was not Roiv Basar Kayim, at least you have some Basar. So the behemah is mutter, just the aver. So Freit Rav Nachman Shmuel Yoimer, they're going to say aver mimena mutl be'ashva. That aver you threw in the garbage. Umuter said the rest of the animal is mutter. How can that be? That was Rav Nachman asked the Shmuel. So Amli Rav Acha Bar Rav Huna Rav Nachman, why are you only screaming at Shmuel? Rav Nami Yoimer, you have the exact same problem with Rav. Why? Because Rav agrees that if you're talking about lemata min akuva, what did he say? Im lav aver asur behemah muteres. Right? The whole machlokes between Rav and Shmuel was lemala min harkuva, where Rav said if it's not roiv basar kayim, then zeh the zeh asur. Said Shmuel, no. Even though it's lemala min harkuva, zeh the aver is asur, but the behema is muteres. But the matam min harkuva, even Rav agrees that if you only have a miyat basar kayim, the aver is asur and behemah muteres. So ask the same kasha Rav. Rav Yoimru, the people are going to go and say aver mutl ba'ashba and the behemah is muter. Can suffering this other kasha? Amalei. So the questioner answered. Rav Nachman answered. Hachi kor minet. Ichanish gemein stam that an aver is mutl ba'ashba. Aver shechaya mimena. It's a crucial, vital aver of the animal. Which one of that is so crucial and vital? That's the upper aver, which is in the etzem or emtsoi, in the middle of the animal's leg. Because if that part is nishbar, we're not talking about nishbar on the foot all the way in the bottom. We're talking about the middle leg, like on the thigh of an individual. Here we're talking about the thigh of the animal. That's heavy-duty break. The animal is supporting itself on that leg. Once that's nishbar, it's os. So therefore, he's not just saying Aver mimena mutl ba'ashva. Aver shechaya mimena mutl ba'ashva. A vichtig, a very important bone is in the ashva muteres. But that's only a kasha on Shmuel. It's not a kasha on Rav. Because Rav would hold if it's in the middle area, the middle bone, einachanami zu vizu asura. That's like Rav said before. Both of them are asur. When did Rav say it's mutter? Only if it's on the bottom one, below the arkuva tachtoina, where you're getting to the foot area. No, that's just bone. It's only 3 inches off the ground. You put a padding over there, you put a little thing. Muteris is kosher. Fine. How do we paskin in this shaila about nishbar hoetzem by the arkuva lemata, where you do not have roiv basar? Well, we have a machloek between Rav and Shmuel. How do you paskin? Sholch mitam, they send from Eretz Yisrael. Initially, they send Hilchas HaKavasei, the Rav. We're going to paskin like Rav, that Rav said, zeh v'zeh osur. In the even in the case when it happens to be lamata. What was Rav said? Imroi v'basa kaim zeh v'zeh mutter imlav eiver osur behemu muteris. While Shmuel said about that case, no, nochamu. Lamalim in akuvah. What did Rav say? Imroi v'basa kaim zeh v'zeh mutter v'imlav zeh v'zeh osur. Said Shmuel, even by lamalim in akuvah, if ein roiv basar kayim, it's only the aver which is aser, but the behemah is mutter. So Shmuel is much more makel over Rav if you have a break on the upper lamalim in akuvah where you do not have roiv basar kayim. How do we paskin? Initially they said for me it's like vasi to Rav. Then in that situation zev is aser. Harder later on sholchu kavasi to Shmuel. They changed their mind. They said no. We hold like Shmuel that the Aver is Asr, the Behemah is Mutter. Harder Sholcha Kvasi Darav, and they change their mind a third time. They make up your mind. And then afterwards, the third time, they said like Rav. And therefore, again, Zu Vizu Asr. And the Aver Atzmai is Metame Bemasa. The Aver itself, that Aver HaMeduldul that's causing all the Tzaras over here, not only is it Asr to eat, but it's metame b'masa, meaning it has a status like an eva min a chai, like eva min a nevela, and therefore it's metame. Masa Rav Chizda, ask Rav Chizda. Now we're quoting a brisa that we had 3 days ago in the Gemara, and this was a machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chacham, and Rav Meir is saying to the Chacham, loy im tiara shchitas treifa oisa v'esa eva metudul ba. The remember back in the Mishnah we had a machlokes between Rav Meir and the Rabbanan, the Gabi and Ben Pekua. And what do we say? That if you shechted the mommy animal, not a ben pekor, you have an aver which is sticking out, and you shechted the mommy animal, according to Rav Meir, that piece which is sticking out is osur, and it's metame, and the Rabbanan say, it's taka osur, but it's not metame. He'd use the expression, maga trefa shchuta. And the Mishnah explained, what do you mean maga trefa shchuta? Just like when you go and shecht an animal. And it's a trefa. You can't eat from the animal. But is it matar? Is it matame? No, because the shchita matahar is matar from very lost. They said the same thing, but this aver, that it's also matar. She said, but Rameir respectfully disagreed. So says Rameir, why is it different? When do we say that the shchita is matar from nevela, meaning from tumah? It's only if oisa, the animal itself, and if the Avram Medulduba, it would also be Matai. But that's Dover Shagufa, that's part of the animal itself. Correct. But you want to go and say to Tyrus or Uber, you want to be Matai, the Uber that has its Aver sticking out on the outside. You say that's also Tar, and you're saying it's like a Trefa. Dover Shagufa, that's not part of the animal, that's outside the animal. That's what Rameir said. Okay, so what do I see from this? I see that when you have an Avram Medulduba, the Shechita is matir and metayer. Loyim tiara shchita streifa oisav yes eva medulduba. It's matir itself. So oy bazoy, how did you just paskin like Rav that the eva atzmoi metami b'masa the eva hamedulduba is okay? Why is it medulduba? Because you don't have roiv basar mechasa. You only have a miyata basar. So therefore, this is an open break in the etzem, and that's why it's metame. Oh, so that's just that same status like eva medulduba. Eber Medulduba, why are you telling me it's Metame when the Braisa says that the Shechita of the animal will allow this Eber HaMedulduba to be Tahir? Im Tiara Shechita is Trefa, Oisa is Eber Medulduba, it's Tar as a result of the Shechita. And you're telling me that the Eber Atzame is Metame. Amalei Rabba, so Rabba, instead of answering the Kasha, he was critical of Rav Chizda's Kasha. He said, Hafuchi Apirchi Lamalach. You found an obscure brisa to ask a kasha from. Not everybody was bucky in brises. Not all brises were considered to be 1,000% authentic. The brises of Rab Chi and Rab Oishi were considered to be, that's mamisha, mufcha min amufcha, la'ayla la'ayla. But the stama brisa, the oilam didn't know. Rather, Oisa Masisa, why don't you ask directly from my Mishnah? We had the Gemara quoted the Mishnah before, but this is really a Gemara later on, a Mishnah on Daf Kuf Chav Zayin. What does it say in the Mishnah? Nishchata behema hukshru bidamel. What happens if you shechted the behema and you have this Avraham Edulduba? What's it then? Hukshru bidamel, it becomes mukshru lekabel tumma. Now, what means it's mukshru lekabel tumma? By definition, it means that it itself is not an avail, it doesn't have a status of Eva Menachai, because if it would have the status of an Eva Menachai or Eva Menachai, Avela, it would be Metame others. When you say that it's Muksha, that means to be Makabal Tumah, to be susceptible to Tumah.
Not to give away, to give off.
To receive the Tumah, not to go and emit Tumah. So the fact that it says, Nishka to Behema, Kukshir B'domel, you know what's Makshir the Eva? It's the dam of the Shechita that splashed all over. That caused it to be Muksha Makabal Tumah. Zokti Yimara, so you see from that, that it's not Metami others, kom, that it's it can become tummy itself as a result of the hechshim of the dumb. Tivrame. Reb Shimon Oimer loy hechshu. No, the dumb were not machshir. The dumb were only machshir the behem itself and not a vorab which are sticking out. Anyway, what do I see from that? I see clearly from the Mishnah that this aver hamiduldo does not emit tuma. Maximum, it only is susceptible. It receives tuma. And you just said now aver atzim mitami b'masa. It's not mitami b'masa. Amalei, the reason why I asked from the Mishnah and not from the reason why I asked from the Braisa and not from the Mishnah, because Mishnah ikal itchuye kiddachinan. We could go and push away or answer that kasha like we were doicha the kasha 3 days ago back in Daf Ayin Gimel. The Gemara asked already from that Mishnah, and the Gemara said we're not talking about the Eivra. The Eivra Avada is metame because an Eivra menachai. However, what happens if you took out basar hamiduldo? That doesn't have the same status like an Aver. On that basar, that you have to have the Huchshru Bido Mel. But we're not talking about the Aver. Aver, in fact, it does emit Tumah, so that would be consistent with what we said before, the Aver Atzim Matame. We're talking about the basar. The basar needs a Huchshru Bido Mel because the basar would not emit Tumah. It's not an Aver Menachai, it's just basar Menachai, and therefore it's not Metame. How can it itself become Tame? If you're Machshru. The Damel, then it can go and receive Tumah from somewhere else. He saw the Reb Zayda Ashchei l'Rav Yirmiya, the Yosef Kamal Allah Shmaitza, and he said over this Shtikel Torah, what was the Shtikel Torah? He paskin like Rav, Zeh v'Zeh Osur, in the case where it was Lamalim and Akuba, there was a break, and there was not enough Basar being Choyfe as Rubai. So what did Rav say? He said, Zeh v'Zeh Osur. Reb Shmuel said, only the Eber is also behemoth's mutter. So Gemara, when he heard this, he said, Amalei Yiyasher. Good gesagt. Fine. Zeh v'zeh takos. And not only that, v'chein tirgumah ariyoich b'bava. By uns and bava, because Reb Zayda is now talking to, ariyoich is referring to who's ariyoich? Ariyoich mani. The adarish b'chabur, and who is that? That's referring to Shmuel. And he said that that's how Shmuel also paskin. That's how he paskin in Mithlik Pali. Did you forget what we learned 5 minutes ago? That Shmuel said, no, not Zeh v'zeh Osir, only the Eiver Osir, but the Behem is Mutter. Everything. Shmuel eventually changed his mind, but he said, you know, Rav, I agree with you, Zeh v'zeh Osir. It could be the reason why he changed his mind is because of the challenge of Rav Nachman. Yoimru, Eiver Mimena, that is the chayus of this animal, it's holding up the animal, Mutl ba'ashba, umuteres. It's therefore he agreed, Biskerach. Zeh v'zeh is taka osur, not only Eiver, but even the animal itself. Fine. Until now we spoke about that the basar is choyfe rubai. Now the Braisa introduces about the oir. Tana Rabban, nishbar etzem yotze l'chutz. Nebuch, the animal, had a break in its leg, and you see the nebuch, the fragment, the fracture, sticking out. L'habdul, the same thing you see by human beings. If he really had a bad break, sometimes you see the protruding bone, this is gefährlich. It looks terrible and it hurts terrible. Yeah, exactly. So nishbo etzem the yotzel chutz, taka protruding. Im oir u basa chayfenes rubai mutter. Notice he doesn't say basa chayfenes rubai. He says im oir u basa chayfenes rubai mutter. If you have the oir and the basar, or of course being the skin, the basar means the surrounding flesh. If they are chayfenes rubai, that you don't see most of the fracture, you only see part of it, then it's mutter. The animal will not die. The animal will survive. It's not a traitor. Imlav, however, if you don't have the benefit or basar chayfenes rubai, then it's awesome. The kama rubai, when you keep on talking about rubai, how do you define the word roiv? Mar has a machloikis, yasav dimi am Rabbi Yochanan, roiv oivyoi, the amilo roiv hakefe. Roiv oivyoi, says Rashi, means that you have the broken bone and you can see into the halal, into the break of the bone, that you see it's broken. Is roiv of the halal visible, or only a small amount? In other words, taka see it's broken, I'm saying, no, this is a broken, it's got a big break, a small break. So that's the definition of roiv oivyoi, that you see the roiv of the halal inside. The amri, the others say no roiv akefai. That means don't go into the bone itself, but look at the circumference, the outside of the bone. Is most of the outside of the bone covered with oil ubasar? Kosher. If most of the bone is not covered, in other words, it's a part of the bone that you see, the bone itself, and it's not covered by the oil ubasar, then it's straight. Omer Papa, since we have machloikis hilcha be'ina roi, oive be'ina roi the kefil. Well, you have this Papa running early, if you remember back, I think, in Daf Test. And therefore, that's why the Groy Seruv in Yerushalayim said, that's why we say the 10 Rapup is always by the Siyam, because Rapup always made friendship shulim between the Talmid Chacham. Om il Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Oir Hari Kibusa. Even though the Mishnah only talks about if Basim Roiv HaBasar Kayim, the halach applies, the same thing applies to oil. Same thing if roiv of the oil around the break in the leg is covering the break, is all kosher. Omer nachal ulav leimemar oil mitzarev lebusar, the oil ubusak tani. Remember this price that introduced the oil, it said oil ubusar. It's mashal, the oil on its own doesn't do the trick. If roiv of the busar, at least 49% is covered by busar, and you have another 2%, which is oil, and mitzarev together. But you're saying oil all alone? When we learned this price by into the yeshiva, we didn't learn oir ubasa, we learned oir oi basa. So oir alone is ofkini. Ikriyamid is another version. Oir mitzarev to busa. Taken not oir on its own, but it's mitzarev to the busa together. What does that mean? It's mashlim. So Rashi says, oir mitzarev to busa could mean you have 49%. See Rashi's second wide line. Half and half. That's what he said. So he said to him, why don't you go and say, or mashlim lebusar? Skip a line. What does that mean? The liboy roiv akisi bebusar. It has to be at least 51% busar. So therefore, the difference between these two girsois, or mitzaref, or mashlim, or mitzaref means 50-50. Even Stephen, even partners, well, or mashal basar means roiv has to be basar, because that's what it says in the Mishnah. It's got to be roiv habasar kai,
which is bolachumur,
which is the chumur. Good, but to go and be mashlim that or she had 49% basar, 49% basar. He had 2% or now we have a roiv. This is genug. So it's mashlim. That's what the Gemara meant when asking about this mashlim and mitzvah. So back, I go luchumra. Luchumra means that's why I don't say that it's mashlim. You only have to have 2%. You have to have 50% ashtarka. Amalei ano uviyadana. I know a mas shohay. What means that? The hahu bar gozlo the have a bay Reb Yitzchak. The or mitzar of the baser have. We had mamishes on mas with a gozlo. Gozlo means an off. Whereby the oif, it also had a break nebuch in the leg. When it was flying and it came down, it didn't have a soft landing, it had a hard landing. Nebuch broke one of its legs. We had that same halacha, and we said, or mitzar of the basar. And basar comes to be actually says, it's kosher. So then, why are you asking me about the or mashal in the basar? I see, or mitzar of the basar is already enough. A malay, bar goes the kamas, you're asking me from a bird. Bar goes the rachich shani. When you're talking about a bird, both the oir and the basar are both very, very soft, and so therefore they both merge together. And in such a case, we say oir mitzarev from the basar. But when you're talking about a case of a behaima fleish, where there the basar is much harder and the oir is also harder, to go and be mitzarev the two together, it's not enough that it should be just mitzarev 50-50. It's got to be roiv hakisei, has to be bebasar 49% basar, and then you can add 2% bimashmal. But you can't have 50-50, dosnish. So the difference between the behema and between the goizla, we'll stop over here, Rabbi said, to continue tomorrow.
Hashem Zabin, no? Hashem Zabin.